Okay, I am on the phone right now with Will Durst, who is going to be playing two shows here in Humboldt County. He is going to be on the 26th, a Friday show at the Mateel Community Center, and on the 27th at the Arcata Theater Lounge, which is pretty darn cool. Will, thanks for taking the time to talk with me this morning. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mr. Berkowitz. I think it's going to be fun.
Yes, I think so. So I've got to ask as your website says, you put the mock in democracy. I absolutely love that. So you were you got a chance to be at and lampoon the RNC and the DNC. That must have been a pretty amazing thing. It was like comedy gold, especially the RNC.
Yeah, it was, both of them were lush and rich and thick. They were both cocooned, you could say, fertile for, I mean, the first night of the Republican convention was, Melania Trump, who started out and, you know, she did her little, speech, and it was a well-received speech.
It was the first time, too.
Yeah, in 2008 as well, when Michelle Obama gave it.
Wow.
But it was, yeah. And so, I mean, it just started off like that. You know, everybody was surprised for about an hour and went, geez, you know, that was a great speech. This made, oh my God, she ripped it off. And then it just went in. And then they didn't have anybody. I mean, you had Republicans staying home, and some of them, you know, Kasich was at least being gracious. You know, he said, well, you know, I'm not going to go. But Jeff Flake, the Arizona Republican, said, I have to mow my lawn. That was his excuse, which is right, you know, in terms of sad, it's right above sorting your sock drawer.
That's what I was going to say. It's a sock drawer excuse right there. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And, of course, as promised, a star-studded event. We had a washed-up soap star. And Scott Baio.
Antonio Sabato.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Scott Baio.
Who still doesn't believe that that Barack was born in America.
I know.
And Scott Baio, you know, the incredible, Chachi. You know, we were all blinded by the star power of that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And the really amazing thing, and I've been around long enough to see this and kind of have dropped my jaw a little bit, is that the flag waving all-American patriotic bring the military up on stage convention was the Democrats.
Yeah, that was confusing. I expected that maybe the whole world had turned on its axis and the Republicans were gonna, you know, defend welfare or something, or call for more welfare. Yeah, it was bizarre. The Democrats really had the red, white, and blue thing going, and they had Murderers Row. I mean, they had Michelle Obama, who gave a great speech. Can't wait for Melania's spin on it. And then they had Bill, who gave a great speech, and then Barack, who gave a great, and then Hillary, who had to give the speech of her life, and the good news is she did, and the bad news is that's it. That's the speech of her life.
Yeah, it was also a pretty positive convention, which was kind of nice, because, I'm kind of a political junkie. I had to watch the other one as well. It was giving me heartburn.
Oh, man, being in that hall when Trump gave his speech, I mean, it must have been like Nuremberg in 36. You
know? Oh,
and he said that he thought it was an optimistic speech. Jesus. Yeah, that's the problem. I'd hate to see him on a dark day.
I know. The thing is, you having Trump running for president as a comedian has got to be just a gift from heaven. Except for the fact that there is the possibility that he could wind up as our president.
I think you nailed it, man. I actually say that in my act, that everybody tells me, you know, Trump must be a gift from comedy heaven. Well, yeah, but no. I mean, how do you parody a parody? You know? The fact that Trump is the GOP nominee, that's the joke.
It is kind of amazing. Here's the thing: as it was coming on, you know, everyone was thinking, "This is so funny. Trump is running for president." I was going, you know, and he was just developing all these big crowds and stuff. I was going, I go, don't write this one off. I've seen this kind of thing before. Don't write this off. And lo and behold.
And that's why everybody asks me what's going to happen. And I am the worst prognosticator in the world. I thought Hillary was going to beat Barack. I thought McCain was going to beat Barack. I thought Trump would be done by last Thanksgiving. You know, I am not the guy to ask what is going to happen. So just to forestall that and take advantage of my bad prognostication, I'm going to actually predict a Trump trounce that he's going to win 49 states.
That's, thank you.
So, yes, I'm taking the bullet.
Well, so someone had to, and thank you, Will, for doing that for all of us. We really appreciate that.
Well, it is taking the bullet because you think about it, he'd be great for comedy, but I don't know if I can. Of course, I don't know if I can pass the loyalty oath. You know, sure. And that was the joke amongst the journalists at Cleveland. If he wins, what are you going to do, North or South? And I would say I'm going to move to Vancouver and learn Spanish.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Cover all my bases.
That's the way to do it. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing because as soon as it became official that Trump really was going to be the nominee, the Google's top search was how to become a Canadian citizen. It's true. There was an NPR news story about that. I couldn't believe that. I was like, wow.
The top search. Yeah.
that was kind of an interesting thing. So, you know, you are a comedian, of course, and you've got your Elect to Laugh tour going on. Do you have to even write anything anymore, or do you just pull up Trump stuff?
Yeah, it's rip and read. No, the hard part is not writing the new stuff. It's fitting it into the act. I mean, I got a couple of orphan lines because, you know, they just don't fit anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a line a couple days ago that Trump is accusing Hillary of being unhinged. So apparently he's going to utilize that classic Pee Wee Herman, I know you are, but what am I strategy. But I love the line, but I don't know where to put it, you know, because everything else has to do with immigration or his supporters or, you know, businessman. And oh, maybe it could be like an under businessman. Oh, that's a good idea. Thank you, Cliff.
Perfect. Glad I could help.
Because the businessman line is, he says he's going to run the country like a business, which is worrisome because he looks like the kind of guy that would burn it down for the insurance.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, how many bankruptcies has he filed now? I mean, it's like you can't really do that with the federal government.
Including three casinos. I mean, what kind of businessman breaks the perpetual motion machine three times?
Yeah, well, it's funny and it is scary.
And it's not.
It's funny and it's not.
There's a great apocryphal story, which means I don't know if it's actually true, but it sounds like it could be, so I'm going with it. And it involves Lincoln at a reception at the White House during the Civil War. And apparently he told a funny story and some woman tapped him on the shoulder and objected to his frivolity during the dark and stormy times of the Civil War. And he supposedly turned to her and said, "Madam, we laugh in order not to cry." And I think that sums it up pretty good.
Yes, it's that is an evergreen comment. Actually, more green than ever. You know, it's kind of funny. I was at the movies the other day, and all the trailers were coming up, and a trailer came up for a movie called The Wall, and the first thing that came through my mind is this about Trump's... Oh, no, this is about the Great Wall of China. I was like... what?
Which took 1,000 years to build, and how many millions of slaves by building it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Trotter did it. Yeah. They still eat with sticks, though.
Yeah. Yeah. As you said before, it would be funny if it wasn't so close to truth. being that he could be elected. It is possible. Yeah. And I know we keep seeing the polls, you know, it's getting further and further apart. And I know a lot of people are like taking it for granted. Progressives are the absolute worst when it comes to voting. You know, they'll rant and rave about Trump, but it's like, you gonna vote? Well, it's in the bag. No!
I know. I know. That's what I do in the show. I just ask people to vote.
Yeah.
Go out there and exercise your electoral muscle. Doesn't matter who you vote for. You know, we're in California. You know, we just have to prove that we can do it. Because if you forget how to do it, I mean, you don't hear a lot of histories about people who never voted.
Yeah, the thing is, here in Humboldt County, you know, being a fairly small population, I have literally seen some local votes, some like city council votes, come down to two votes. You'll say, my vote doesn't count. Yeah, your vote counts. your vote counts. Don't take it for granted.
I mean, Al Gore lost Florida by, what, 370 votes or something?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. By a guy named Chad, if memory serves.
Yes, that Chad, without his partner, Jeremy.
That's right. That is right. So I was looking on your website. You were touring all over the place. You do a lot of shows in San Francisco, since that is where your home base is. But
yeah, I'm doing this show every Tuesday here in San Francisco at a place called The Marsh.
Yeah.
In the Mission, 22nd and Valencia. So I'm doing it every Tuesday there, and then I'm just taking it on the road in Northern California. For instance, Wednesday I'll be at North Lake Tahoe at the Crystal Bay Casino, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday I'll be in Reno, and then next week I'm in Sunnyvale, and then I'm up with you guys, and so I'm just wandering all over the
That is right.
Northern Bay, yeah.
And obviously, you know, you've been you have made comedy out of politics for a very long time, as you said, putting the mock in democracy. And what better time to be taking your show on the road than during this election season? There's never been anything like this one.
No, but we say that every 4 years. I mean, I know we said that 4 years ago during Mitt Romney, because the Republicans did not want Mitt Romney, and everybody led the polls, you know, except for him until the very end. So yeah, so there's a brand new arc, you know, a narrative arc every 4 years. And because we're covering it on MSNBC and CNN, and we get to know so much about these liquid squeeze bags, you know, it just seems more and more ludicrous.
Well, when you have, you know, the likes of Mitt Romney and George W. Bush seeming reasonable, you know, something is amiss.
Yeah, something has gone horribly awry.
Something is strange. I mean, they boycotted the convention. And it was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. And
Jeff Flake and all those other guys. But then you had Bernie supporters, you know, who were booing everybody who wasn't Bernie enough. Yeah. Including Bernie.
I remember. That was insane.
They were Bernie, for Trump's sake. They're strict.
Yeah, they are strict. They are strict. Hopefully, hopefully they will, you know, vote to, but who knows?
They have to come out for Hillary. They have to come out. I know everybody tells me, oh, she makes me sick. Yeah, well, you know, they both make us sick. They're politicians, but one gives us intestinal cramps and the other will give us Ebola.
I think my son, who lives in New York, he's 25. He I think he said it best. He was a rabid Bernie fan. I mean, he was rabid Bernie fan and diehard right to the end. And, you know, he said it best that he was really hoping that they would wind up with Bernie. But he goes, it's like, you know, you go to a restaurant and they've got this amazing filet mignon on the menu. It's fantastic. But you go to place the order and they're out. So you have to settle for the chicken. So he goes, we're settling for the chicken. I guess we have to settle for the chicken. You know, but the chicken's better than a plate of poison mushrooms. So we'll take the chicken.
But they're out.
We'll, we'll, t- take the 86 chicken.
86, the filet.
Yeah. That's right. The filet is out. Yeah, that's what you got. What are you going to do? It was too good to last. Anyway, you are coming to town. You're playing at the Mateel Community Center. That is going to be...
On Friday the 26th.
That's
and
right.
And then at the...
Arcata Theater Lounge
on Saturday the 27th.
That is right.
A lot of fun.
That is right. So whether you're in Northern Humboldt or Southern Humboldt, you've got a chance to see a really, really fun show. And I think you kind of get the gist of the direction the show is going to go just by listening to this interview here. Alrighty. So, again, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me this morning. I really do appreciate it. Any parting words?
No, I just hope to see you out there, and I get my little overhead projector with me, and so going to be taking you through the entire election, and it's going to be fun.
All righty. Will Durst, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Berkowitz.